I started researching the topic of fear earlier this year, and it began when my family planned a trip to snow country. All the arrangements had been made, airline tickets purchased, and we had a place to stay. When it came time to get on the airplane, my niece had a panic attack. She absolutely could not board the plane. She broke out in a sweat, and she couldn't breathe, and she could hardly stand up. She looked at her husband and kids and said, "I can't get on the plane." So two of them got on the plane, and she and the daughter did not. As families do, someone said, "Hey, do you want to go out skiing? And if you do, we'll load up in the truck and we'll drive out there." Well, it was a long road trip, 22 hours and 2 days to arrive. Well, since this trip, I have continued to come across the theme of fear on a regular basis. A few weeks ago, I attended a conference, and the question was asked, "What are you afraid of?" Just a few days ago, Travis took an unexpected trip in an ambulance to the ER and was admitted. This morning, I want to talk about what I know in my heart, in my real life, of what I am afraid of, and how do I approach these fears. And then I want to talk about what I've studied and learned. We know today's world is full of fear, and it didn't just happen after COVID, and it just didn't happen after the election. Fear has been around since the beginning of time. And as Christians, I believe we all experience fear. And as Christians, I believe the only way to conquer it is to look it in the mirror, admit what we are fearful of, and hand it to the Lord. No fear over my life, not over my family, not over my future, not over my battles, not over my struggles. None. No fear. Lord, I ask that you would be with us today and that you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear, that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Think about these two questions. What does having faith over fear mean? Can you be afraid and still have faith? Fear shows up in our lives in many ways. It can cause us to be hesitant, insecure, full of doubts, and it can take the form of worry and anxiety, and that affects our physical being. I think it's important for us to know that fear does not originate from God. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I believe fear is a weapon that Satan uses to keep us from moving forward. Satan wants us to shrink back in fear and live tiny, tiny, tiny little lives. God wants us to live free from our fears. In Isaiah 41, God gives us 5 promises. "I am with you. I'm your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Jesus knew that as Christians, we would experience fear. And he has given us the choice to believe in him, to believe in his power, to believe in his promises, and his love. And he also has given us his peace to overcome our fear by using our faith. Earlier, we read in 1 Samuel 17, the story we grew up with, the story of David and Goliath. Can you imagine being a young shepherd boy, the smallest of all your brothers, going up against a giant that is insulting your God? God's anointed shepherd boy, David, stands up to Goliath. This is one of the great stories of faith. It's a story of a powerful soldier, Goliath, who is a giant of a man, strong and defiant. And in fact, some described him as the champion of the Philistines, a great warrior. They had a strong army, and they were better equipped than the army of Israel. In fact, Israel was outmatched on this battlefield. David was by no measure a great warrior. In fact, he had never seen battle. David was young, so young that he wasn't part of the army. And David is near the battle because his father Jesse had sent him to deliver supplies to the older brothers and to bring back news about the battle. David was simply a messenger and a delivery boy. When he arrived at the battlefield, he found that the army of Israel was in trouble and fear had seized the camp. There seemed to be no willingness to fight the Philistines, much less take on this giant. David simply didn't understand why the army was so afraid. But he listened to Goliath's defiance. He was amazed that the giant dared to disrespect God. What did David do? He looked in the mirror, he stepped out on faith, and he faced the giant. David stood before Goliath with the tools he had and his faith in God. What can we learn from this story? The first thing, it is often easier to stand back and shy away from challenges, especially when those that seem larger than life, much like Goliath. David was a mere shepherd boy, the youngest and the least expected to act among his brothers. Yet when he faced Goliath, David took the initiative. He said, "You come against me with a sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." David didn't shy away. He recognized God's will and he moved with courage, even when everyone else was paralyzed with fear. This is the heart of taking the initiative. It's about us stepping forward in faith and trusting that God is with us. Taking initiative in faith. The second thing we can learn from this story, God is greater than any challenge. Life presents us with many challenges that can seem overwhelming. And it's important for us to remember that God is more powerful than any problem we may face. David's response to Goliath is an inspiring example. He was armed with a slingshot and 5 stones. David was unfazed by the fact that Goliath was huge and that he was strong. And when David confronted Goliath, he didn't think about how small he was or that he was the youngest, and he certainly didn't think about the size or the strength of his opponent. He looked at the size of his God. He knew that victory was not going to come from his might or power, but from the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, God's greatness is echoed. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding is beyond searching out." God is not just bigger than our problems. God is greater than everything. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" There is nothing too difficult for him. No challenge too great. No problem too complex. God does not promise us a life that is free of challenges, but he does assure us of his unending strength and guidance in the middle of our battles. God is greater than any challenge. The third point we can learn from this story. When David was presented with Saul's armor to put on, he declined. He chose instead to face Goliath in his shepherd's attire, carrying his slingshot and stones. David's faith was grounded in God's faithfulness that he had experienced in his past. Even as he was about to face a giant, he remembered how God had delivered him many times before. His reflection on God's past faithfulness was the root of his confidence for the challenge that was ahead. I can tell you that this week when I got that unexpected call that Travis was traveling in an ambulance to the ER and no one knew what had happened. As I pulled up to the parking deck, which I have done many, many times before with family members, the last time was 3 years ago this same week. As I walked into that ER, I looked down at the floor and I said, I've been here before. And I faced my fears. And I stood up tall, knowing that God's strength and guidance was going to be with me, because I had no idea what was going to happen. In Psalm 77:11, the Bible says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Yes, I remember your wonders of old. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past, it strengthens us where we are standing. God is kind and understanding towards our weakness, but he requires for us to go forward in faith. God takes each one of us through fearful situations, and as we learn to obey his word and allow it to soak our thoughts, we find that each trial becomes a stepping stone to a stronger and a deeper faith. It gives us that ability to say, he held me up in the past, and he will carry me through today, and he will hold me in the future. Remember God's faithfulness. The last point that we can learn from this faith story: wear your own armor. Each one of us has a personal journey with God, and our faith isn't something we inherit or borrow. It is uniquely ours. We each have to wear our own armor. In Ephesians 6, Paul talks about this, the whole armor of God. These are not physical items we can borrow from someone else. They are spiritual attributes that develop when we have a personal relationship with God. When we read his word, when we pray, and when we live a life of obedience and faith. Just as David knew that he couldn't fight Goliath with Saul's armor, we cannot navigate our life battles with someone else's faith or their relationship with God. We can't borrow pastor's faith or inherit our grandparents' spiritual armor. We must have our own. We're called to wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness covers our sins and shields us from harm. We didn't earn this righteousness. It is a gift we receive by faith in Jesus. The account of David and Goliath is not just a tale of an underdog's victory. It's a testimony to faith in a great God. So earlier, the question was asked, what are you afraid of? I encourage you to not let fear push you around. Open your heart to God, and if you can recognize the fear and confess it, you'll gain freedom from it. You can overcome fear every time by standing on God's word and trusting in him. Read, study, meditate on the word of God. Remember who you are and whose you are. Identify what you're afraid of. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask for help. Listen to his voice. Be quick to obey what you hear. Encourage yourself. Be courageous and bold. Put on the whole armor of God. Walk in the strength and the power of the Spirit of God. Walk in his love. I close with a scripture from the Old Testament in the book of Psalm. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. And he heard, he delivered me from all my fears. I encourage you to spend time with the Lord this week and study what the Bible says about fear. asking to uncover the areas in your life that are being impacted by fear. And as you do, He will not only strengthen your faith, but He will give you the courage to face those fears and walk step by step into a life of freedom. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for reminding us that we do not have to live in fear. Help us to trust You when we're afraid and to rely on Your Spirit for strength, love, and courage. Teach us to walk boldly in faith, knowing that You are always with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.